50-50 shared parenting might seem like a stretch, and yet we'll be talking today about how important it is. Stay tuned. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net, and I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for being here, for being our listeners, and supporting our sponsors.
Want to help boys? Of course you do. You're listening to On Boys Podcast. We have a novel idea for you. Want to help boys? Advocate for and work towards 50-50 shared parenting. That might sound like an unattainable, unrealistic goal. And as today's guest points out, we can't legislate or enforce 50-50 division of parenting duties in married relationships. But we can when people divorce, separate, or parent outside of marriage, and that might be best for us all. Joining us today is previous On Boys guest Emma Johnson, author of The Kick-Ass Single Mom and her new book, The 50-50 Solution, the surprising simple choice that makes moms, dads, and kids happier and healthier after a divorce. Welcome, Emma.
Thank you so much for having me back.
All right. So you have two children, a son and a daughter, I believe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And catch us up. How old are they now? Because it's been a few years since we talked.
They're going to be 14 and 16 in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Smack dab in the teenage years. So just for context for our listeners, I'm divorced. Emma, you've been divorced, and I'm not sure if you're married or repartnered.
I've had a long-term partner, but no, I'm not remarried.
So we have all gone through divorce. Janet, I believe your kids were older when you divorced. Is that right?
Yeah. My oldest was first year in college, and my younger was junior in high school.
And my boys ranged in age from 3. Sam was only 3 when we got separated, and Nathan was 11. And Emma, how old were your kids at the time of the separation?
Like 1 and in being in utero.
So, you know, your kids and mine, this was very much a part of their growing up lives.
Mm. Oh, for sure. Yes.
And like you, Emma, like you, Janet, like most women, even still in the United States, I'd been the default parent doing most of the hands-on parenting prior to the divorce. Yes, their dad helped. Note the word. He helped with bedtime and things like that. But like I was doing most of the things. And so when this divorce hit, which I did not expect, I personally didn't believe that my then husband should evenly share in the parenting and decision-making power with me. I was angry. I was upset. And I was 100% sure that I was the better parent. And if he's not going to live up to his vows, why should he? And as I had shared with Emma previously, because we've discussed this a few times over the years, where I live in the state of Wisconsin, for whatever reason, even though Wisconsin is not officially a shared parenting state, the presumption was for shared parenting. Everybody in the court system approached this as, you're both going to have 50-50 legal custody, the decision-making power, and the parenting time. And at the time, that seemed so unfair to me. Emma, that's still kind of a mental default for a lot of us, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And thankfully, we are barreling towards a better future and a better now, where equal parenting time, especially in larger cities, I found. I mean, this is very anecdotal. No one's been able to really quantify where 50-50 is happening, but it is definitely better than when I divorced 15 years ago. But it is the default, and it is certainly the default in our hearts and minds that mothers should have majority time with the kids. Right. And that is one part gender. It's one part sexism. And it's one part misunderstanding of the latest social science around what is best for kids.
I love that your book, The 50-50 Solution, which I am going to recommend to all of our readers, whether you are divorced, have ever been divorced, even if you're sure it might not happen to you, because it's a great look at where we are and how we got here in society. You point out the role of sexism clearly in our parenting and in how that affects all of us. And you wrote, when we talk about living in a sexist society, the conversation is nearly always about the sexism women experience. We're all women. We know that. Like, preach, Emma, right?
We got the narrative.
And then you write, and we're right. Our world is sexist against women. It's also sexist against men. We've talked about that a little bit here on Boys, but I'd love to hear more of your thoughts and realizations around that sexism against males and how it's gotten us here and hinders us.
So I think we're all roughly the same age. I was raised to be a good feminist, and I am still a good feminist, but it means something very different today in 2024, right? Looking at it today, thankfully, work like yours, Richard Reeves' book, there's really great mainstream stuff. It's literally come out in like the last 12, 18 months. It's so heartening talking about the struggle that boys and men are having. Mental health, physical health, education attainment, right? The opportunities and the performance for boys and men, it's just staggering how things are so stacked against men and boys. The pay gap still exists. Corporate boards are still predominantly men. Court justices are still predominantly men. We are evolved adults and we can hold two ideas in our brains at the same time.
Yes.
Sexism against women is real, and sexism against men is also very real. And we can see this anecdotally. I know as a mom, my inbox is flooded with emails from the school, from the community, from the Y about all these really cool things happening in camps and scholarships and all these great things for kids. And being the good, you know, upper middle class white parent, I'm sitting and looking at all this stuff. It's all for girls. STEM for girls. What? Guess what? STEM is equal boys and girls.
Yes.
Arts attainment. You know, there's some arts camp to, you know, bridge the gap for girls. No, girls are dominating in the arts, mm-hmm. right? Why? And I'm like, this is my little activism, is emailing back the administrators of these well-meaning camp administrators, say, here's some science for you. Here's a link. This isn't okay, right? This isn't okay. We need to be dealing with the facts. Unfortunately, there's a whole industrial complex surrounding this because yes. That camp is funded by grants, which are probably rooted in government monies that were created for all the right reasons, right?
Absolutely
by good people who want to do the right thing. But many of us are, maybe the right thing is different today than it was 15 and 20 and 30 years ago.
Yes.
So when it comes to parenting, and when it comes to family courts, the clearest way to help people understand this is women are at a disadvantage when it comes to public power. Earning potential, that's over now. We have equal earning potential, and I'm happy to unpack that. There is still unequal power in the public sphere, but there is absolutely unequal power in the private sphere. Men do not have any power over their children and their parenthood. And when we think about what is important to us, they are both important and they're very much intertwined. I think of you, many people, I would say most of us, who ask what's most important to you, it is your relationships. It is a patriarchal measure of power to count dollars. And it's the dumbest way to count power because there's a number, right? We can mm-hmm. count how many CEOs there are. We can count where the VC dollars go. We can count retirement investments. We can count that. That's easy. A dumbass can come to that conclusion. But how do we measure and value family love? Well, we can start to measure that because we can see how men are suffering from mental and physical health at alarming rates, suicidal tendencies and executions. Violent, you know, goes on and on.
You know, we have talked about all of these things on here before, Janet. We talk all the time about gender hinders our boys and they are affected by that. And we've talked about the mental health gaps and challenges for men. And yet your book still helped me make these connections, because what you just said, humans, we are social animals. This is how we have been evolved, and our relationships are ultimately like key to our survival and our thriving. Every human knows that. When you die, it does not matter really how much money's in your bank account. It matters the relationships you built. That is beyond gender. And yet you're right. We do not value that. We know we don't value that for women, which is part of why we do, but we're not compensated for it. And that's part of the problem. But we don't even really consider or meaningfully value that for men in or outside of marriage.
But no one seems to really care about men, but we care about kids, right? Mm-hmm. We need to work on it. That is absolutely critical, because it's not like men are ghettoized over there. Like, there's men within earshot. I'm going home to men. And it's like, men are amongst us, right?
Men are amongst us.
And we, most of us know and love men in our lives. We care about them, but we all care about children, and boys and girls thrive when they have their mothers and their fathers in their lives. And here is the thing that is just stunning. It was stunning to me when I learned it, is that 50-50 number is important. And we're living in reality, like, you know, no one's counting the minutes, or you shouldn't be counting the minutes. It's that the kid knows intellectually, but then they know emotionally, intuitively in their hearts, that my mom and my dad are both in it to win it. No one's going to check out. No one's going to slip out and move away. No one's got an upper hand. And therefore, by essence of having an unequal schedule, one parent is belittled and marginalized.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the dads. I have clients. The dads have the dinner on Wednesday night and every other weekend. And it's horrible. And we know, I mean, Warren Farrell did studies about fatherlessness and the impact on even newborns in the hospital. Newborns in ICU tend to go home earlier if there's a father present. And I mean, we've said it so many times, our boys need men. Our boys need their dads.
And our girls need
men. And our girls do, absolutely.
Humans do.
Yes.
Because dads are, and here's the thing, the science, we are all humans are biologically wired to parent.
All of us.
Hormonally, intellectually, our brain structure, we know women hormonally react to babies and bond with them. So do men. When men are bonding with a child, that child is thriving biologically, as is the dad.
Mm-hmm.
They are connecting in different ways than mommies and babies, but daddies and babies and younger children and teens, we are all genetically predisposed to thrive when these relationships are not just intact, but nurtured.
One of the points that you make so well in the book that we have to unpack is, it's not about being a better parent. It's not about being a perfect parent. It's about being a present parent and an involved parent. And in our culture, on the one hand, we know, because we've heard many times, that dads and fathers are important to the thriving of children. So, like, we know that. And yet, at the same time, so many of us who are women have bought into, like, how important routines are and structure and nutritious meals and sleep. And so we will fight over things like, well, he needs to be with me because he doesn't put the kids to bed on time. He takes them out to McDonald's all the time. When really the science clearly shows that access to regular time with dad is far more critical to kids thriving than what time they go to bed.
And even if important, it is important to have a bedtime, and it is important to eat nutritious meals, but that's their dad, right? We have gotten away. I mean, it's the same mentality that had taken Native children away from their community to bring them into a better boarding school to teach them English, whether it was in North America or Australia, because that's better. It is not the state's job to decide which home is better. We have moved away from that. That is unethical and inhumane. A child, it is a globally recognized, UN-sanctioned right for a parent to parent their child and for that child to be parented by their parent. That is their dad. Might not be the, you might regret that being their dad. You might be the better parent. I'll give it to you. You could be 1,000 times better parent. That kid is not going to benefit from spending more time with you than their dad. That is their path in this world. And a good parent accepts and embraces that.
And I want to put the caveat in here that not all dads are healthy dads. Not all moms are healthy moms. So, you know, listeners, I just want you to hear that, you know, we recognize all of the different varieties of situations that people are in. And of course, we don't want to have our children be in an unhealthy situation. So just putting that out there.
Of course, we don't want kids in dangerous situations.
Right.
But what's a healthy situation? And is it worth going to court to battle it out about that? Mm-hmm. Because guess what? Chicken nuggets, not healthy.
Yeah.
And guess what? Situational depression, not great. Maybe a little too much drink at home at night after the kids are in bed, not perfect. How much of that is worth duking it out? There are situations where it's not great in the kid. There might be some kind of augmented schedule. But if we have a culture and hopefully laws, but certainly a culture that understands the value of 50-50, mm-hmm. maybe somebody is having a mental health crisis. A 50-50 culture will support that parent getting the care they need to come back around to a 50-50. That parent's not going, the struggling parent is not going to be afraid that they're going to lose their kids forever. It's going and create a safe place for them to get support. And it's not going to automatically give the other parent the upper hand to destroy that parent in court, right? Mm-hmm. So there are not that many situations out there where that we should deviate, because I like to say, because like, well, he's overwhelmed. He can handle the kids every other weekend, but he can't handle 50. If a parent is safe to be with the kids 1 hour a week alone, they're safe to be with them 100% of the time alone. Mm-hmm. This is raising children. Historically, 12-year-olds have raised children, right? We don't need this higher level of, we have got to get very much to your point, Jennifer, this idea of this perfect parenting or even good parenting. And I would argue even healthy parenting has got pretty loose. We need to put pretty loose parameters on that.
Good enough parenting. We all have a lot to learn from that. More to come after these messages from our sponsors. As Mother's Day is coming around, I find I'm missing my mom more and more. And there's always questions and stories I wish I had asked her when she was still here. I do remember that I gave her a book once upon a time with questions for her to write the answers to, and bless her heart, she didn't answer very many, so that was really a disappointment. But fast forward to now and technology, and now we have mylifeinabook.com. It takes all those questions and stories and it puts it in a format that is sent to your person, whoever you designate, on a regular basis, so that the prompts come, they're easily answered either written or voice to text, and they're captured by mylifeinabook.com. These family stories, this legacy that you want to leave for your children and your grandchildren. Mylifeinabook.com, create an unforgettable gift for your mom, your dad, your children, this Mother's Day. Use our coupon code ONBOYS for 10% off. Go to mylifeinabook.com and use ONBOYS for 10% off. Create that legacy. Carry on those stories.
We all know that vitamins can help fill nutritional gaps in our diet. But a lot of us don't like to take vitamins because we don't like swallowing pills. How do you feel about that, Janet?
There's some days that I look at my vitamins and go, yeah, I should take those. I'll do it later. But I'll tell you what's changed. I have gotten easy melt vitamins. I have the D3 and I have the B12s and a multivitamin. And I just pop them in my mouth and they dissolve and I don't have to think about swallowing a vitamin.
Yeah, and you don't necessarily need water either to have on hand to get this big vitamin now.
Yeah, no, and they taste good. And They're sugar-free. They melt quickly. The reason they melt is because of plants, not chemicals.
Ah, plant-based nutrition. For a limited time only, you can receive a free 3-month supply of Easy Melt Vitamin D3 with your first purchase. To claim your free D3, visit try.easymelt.com/onboys. That's try.easymelts.com/onboys. One of the quotes that I love from your book: if we fear that dads are not connecting with their kids, the answer is to have them spend more time, not less time together. I'm highlighting that because it certainly applies in cases of separated, divorced, never married parents. It can also apply in married families. Emma, unpack that for us.
Yeah, there's a term that's been concept that's been studied globally, and this is not just specific to our American crazy parenting culture. Gatekeeping parenting. So one parent almost always the mom. It's like, well, I'm going to control things, and therefore I'm also going to control the dad's connection with the kids. And what it could be anything like, this is what this meal schedule is, and this is what the play date rules are, whatever the thing is. And the dad is marginalized and checked out. And then to your point, he doesn't develop that bond. He just doesn't develop his own confidence as a parent, his own routine, his own characters and personality as a parent. I mean, we're all parents here. I'm still figuring it out, right? It's a very different parent.
All of us.
16-year-old and the newborn, right? So he doesn't have that opportunity. And it goes from one extreme to the other. I mean, there is actually, if you look into abuse cases, higher rates of child abuse with mothers, but the, right, physical abuse, mothers are abused at higher rates, but the father's extreme violence against the kids. And the researchers that look at that said, well, those part of the problem is those dads never had the opportunity to develop as dads, right? To learn how to manage an annoying toddler, right? So it actually keeps kids safer when dads are allowed to parent. And the studies support this, and anecdotally guides I talked to for the book say, like, yeah, when I got away and I had that 50-50 time, it was overwhelming, but I figured it out. You know, I figured out how to connect with my kids and have fun, all the good and bad and ugly. And I learned how, when I screwed up, I had to manage that. You know, I had to manage the overwhelm and snapping at the kids and all the millions of mistakes that we make. So
is that something that you see and hear with the parents that you work with as well, Janet? You know, you mentioned that you do work with some divorced and separated dads, mm-hmm. and, you know, learning how to parent, how to manage kids, you know, 24/7, that's hard.
Yeah. And as you said, I see it with married parents too. They're still trying to figure it out. I'm loving this conversation because I'm thinking about when I was parenting and I was the mom who, I was the only one who could put my kids to bed. I was the only one. I think we marginalize our husbands, our spouses within marriage also. And we gotta figure that out too.
There was one quote in the book from a divorced dad that was so powerful to me. I never had the chance to fail as a parent. And that's the only way you grow and learn. I just wound up with low self-esteem as a dad. Listeners, I want you to think about that because you've heard us talk about how important struggle and failure is to our boys. We need to let them try things, fail, try another way. That's how they develop confidence in themselves, in their abilities, how they develop competence. And somehow we forget this in the parenting sphere. And these dads are our boys grown up. And we have to make it okay for them to not be perfect. Because the other thing I heard in there was, we also talk about how boys are quick to shame. And when a boy feels shame, he tends to shut down and withdraw because our whole society is like males and men are competent. So you can see how this hurts and harms dads and trickles down to hurt women, to hurt children. It's not good for any of us, but we culturally are not giving dads enough opportunities.
We're not. And right. And dads don't even know that they can ask or demand it. Yeah. Right. There's so much pressure on men to not be aggressive. I mean, there's a, you know, on any level, like on the most extreme violent level, but on the other side of the coin too, it's like, well, you know, it's like these guys are struggling with feminism. Like they want to be good guys, but it's not serving them to go to an extreme where they're passively deferring to the women.
It's not helping any of us. You also highlight the fact that on the one hand, currently in society, we hear a lot of women justifiably complaining about how overwhelming motherhood is. And it is. There's not a one of us here or listening that's going to argue that point. It's partly overwhelming because we're insisting on doing it almost all by ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, adhering to all of these insane social norms and adopting this assumption that, like, you know, one meal at McDonald's, one missed bedtime is going to like send this kid to juvie, right?
Yes.
So I think, ladies, you don't get to complain about how overwhelmed you are and then also fight for majority time with your kids. Can't do both.
Part of what you wrote about in your first book and you bring up again in this one is that shared parenting time gives you as a woman more opportunity to relax, to rest, to work on your business, to date, to do all those other things that, I mean, frankly, a lot of moms, even when they're married, dream about having more time to do those things. And then yet counterintuitively, we fight to keep kids away from dad because they need to be with us all the time.
Right. This book was written from the point of view that women have the power in family life, in our private lives. We have the power to either give, even though that's insane that we are giving our children's own biological, usually biological fathers, time with them, right? We do have that power. And we have the power to call them and nurture those relationships with the dads if the dads are not stepping up, which is very common. If you talk to the guys in this movement that I'm involved with, I just posted something on social media. A woman wrote me and she said, oh, I'm really down with your work. I'm 50-50, but I don't have it. And I took my kid's dad to court to make him step up to 50-50 and he doesn't want it. And so I posted this on social media and said, hey, and my social media following, I'm involved. I have my blog, which is Wealthy Single Mommy, and that's for moms. It's a very general audience. But then I'm also very involved in this movement to promote equal parenting. So this was on this on my Facebook page for the 50-50 solution. And all of these got all the men that are involved, they chimed in. They're like, well, this is confusing. Like, they assumed that the dad did want it. And at some point she had withheld the time. They just couldn't even get their brains around the idea that a dad wouldn't want 50-50 time. And I'm here to tell you, they absolutely do not. Right. There's been plenty of times I don't want 50-50 PS. And it becomes a tension between rights and responsibility. And that goes both ways for both genders. So when we get into separated families, divorced families, and what those struggles are, whether it's in court or whether it's just day-to-day people griping at each other, there's really two big things in play. And that's the parenting, and then there's money. And what has historically been the struggle is dads want more parenting time, but the moms will say, yeah, but he doesn't take responsibility.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of it, the moms want more money from the dad, but then the dad's like, but she doesn't take responsibility and just go earn the money, right? But you could also push back on both those arguments, like, well, but society doesn't support the dad's parenting when there's not changing tables and he's going to get the stink eye if he's hanging out alone at a park with a kid or, you know,
yeah.
On the flip side, do women have equal earning responsibilities? And I would say today, yes, women absolutely do have equal earning responsibilities, but men do not have equal parenting opportunities. So we are in a time of transition, right? It's not going to be easy. We are all activists. Our daily lives is activism. So yeah, okay, you're going to deal with some crap at work, ladies, to go and make sure that the workplace is equal and fair for older and younger women. And you know what? Those dads, they have to struggle through it, and the women are going to support them because people are watching. It, like, activism is like what you do, and the people on the playground in your neighborhood and your church are watching you and learning and seeing how it can be done. right? So we are working through these gaps.
You talk about the rights and responsibilities, and clearly we have been living in a culture where it's been pretty much the women do the birthing and the child raising and the men do the money making. And yes, now we have a lot of women in the workplace and there's reasons for that, but we have not made that corresponding shift in the household with the parenting, which is why so many are stressed. It shouldn't be, but it sounds radical when you say, hey, both parents, both of you have a responsibility to earn some income for the family, to care for the children. It sounds almost radical to say it out loud, and yet there's all these downstream benefits to all of our children. You point out, and many of us have experienced this in our personal relationships, when kids, especially boys, see mom working and mom earning money, they realize, huh, women can do these things too. When children see dad changing diapers and being responsible for the kids, huh, dads do these things too. So when you talk about, you know, our daily lives are activism, we can talk till we are blue in the faces about how we want our kids to all have opportunities in the workplace and in the home. We have to show it to them.
You show it. There's great, Kathleen McGinn at Harvard a few years ago did a great study. It was 20,000 families around the world. So this is culture neutral. And she studied families where the mother worked outside the home for pay and where she did not. And the net findings was that daughters, girls who are raised in homes where the moms work outside the home for pay, were more successful academically and then professionally. And in the homes where the moms worked outside the home for pay, the sons, the boys, were more nurturing and caring to loved ones in the home. So younger siblings or older people living in the home. And all camps, right, were equally happy, right? It's not like these kids were so deprived because their mom steps outside of the house and participated in the economy.
Yeah.
It is about just seeing and normalize. It's just normalizing. We're still, like you said, Jennifer, we're social creatures, and what you see is just normal. And it is remarkable to me how much progress we have made in half a generation. And these younger moms and dads with little kids just get it.
More about all the changes that are happening in parenting after these messages from our sponsors. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart.
Babies need to eat. And whether you breastfeed or bottle feed, use formula, combine all of the above, you need options. We wanted to let you know about ByHeart baby formula. ByHeart has a patented protein blend that gets the closest to breast milk. It includes two of the most abundant proteins in breast milk. And ByHeart actually ran a clinical trial comparing their formula to a leading infant formula and proved that babies on ByHeart have softer poops, less spit up, and easier digestion. ByHeart is also the only US-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk. So if you need baby formula for your baby, consider ByHeart. New customers can get 10% off your first order by using code ONBOYS at ByHeart.com. That's BYHEART.com/podcast. And it is 10% off your first order. ByHeart.com/podcast. This is a limited time offer and additional terms and conditions may apply.
We talk at you all the time. Now we want to talk with you. Janet and I are partnering and we are so excited. We will be offering a 3-session series, Talk with Boys Like a Pro, about anything and everything.
3 sessions, 3 weeks in a row. Jen, I'm so excited about this because not only do we get to see each other again in a week, but we get to talk directly with our listeners, and we'll be bringing great information, but also there will be time for discussion, time for questions. And that is truly where the gold is.
We will troubleshoot in real life all those questions that pop into your head when you hear us do podcasts and make suggestions. This is your chance to ask, to clarify, to really drill down into how you can use these communication techniques and shift your strategies in your home, in your family, with your child.
Go to boysalive.com/boys and all the info is there. Get registered. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Again, that's Talk with Boys Like a Pro about anything and everything. We will be live in May. All the details are at boysalive.com/boys. And get registered. Don't delay. This is going to be so much fun, and it's going to give you peace of mind, new information, new insights. We hope you'll join us.
They think this conversation that us old grandmas are having is like so vintage. They are just like, they're, you know, I'm like dragging myself onto TikTok to see what people are saying about it. And I just like heard this mom, this young mom in rural Arkansas, she's got three little boys and she does 50-50. And she's like, you're crazy. Like, what is child support for? And she's like, yeah, you guys are like, she got a lot of pushback on that message. And she's like, you know, this idea of equalizing the homes. She's like, no, when my kids go to their dad's house, and if they did something fun with him that I can't afford, the point is that the kids got to do it one. So they got it.
Yes.
I'm not entitled to have that. It's not, you know, it's entitlement. And she's like, and if it's something that is important to me to want to do, then I'm going to work my ass off and earn the money to give my kids that myself. It's not his job to hand it to me. And I was like, oh my God, no one my age has ever said that. I'm 47.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, girl, oh God, it really is very, so moving to me, these young women that get it, and men, they just get it. I just even see it like walking around the streets of like how dads are just got a baby on their chest, like ain't no thing. Like, you know, it's like, no, it's not like special and cute. Isn't that nice? They're just being dads.
I so wish our society would catch up with that, because as you likely experienced with your own family, and I've experienced, and you allude to it in the book, right? Currently, our census and all those who keep track, like we don't even know how to count two household families. Right now, you will hear and see stats about fatherless children or children living in a home without a dad. And that sounds terrible. And it is. I mean, we want all kids to have involved dads whenever possible. I get that. But technically, my four kids would in many ways count as living in a household without a dad, which is ludicrous because their dad has been a part of their lives at least 50-50. Sometimes more, I mean, you know, life happens the whole time we have been separated.
Right. The Census Bureau and the headlines count him at your children as fatherless.
Yes. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah. So we have a lot. It's so interesting. So there's like a new FAFSA, like the Federal Financial Aid College. And I was like, so I was like, I downloaded just to look. We're not there yet. My feeling, but I'm like, what's going on in there? And this was not my motivation, but I did. We're making strides, because it was the questions got in there about real families. The whole point is it's shorter, right? The FAFSA is shorter. There's not a lot. There's fewer questions. It's easier. It's supposed to be fairer. It's more elegant. Yet they ask questions like, okay, if your parents live separately, who do you live with? And then that parents, are they remarried? Because then that income should count to the household as it should. Or is it your two biological parents who are not married, which that is a huge number of people in this country. Yep. And then there was a third, basically like if I live with my boyfriend, that would not count. If we were married, it would count, which, you know, that's maybe.
Emma, I get this. Right. Like,
but whatever. I mean, they are making strides towards reality.
They're so making strides towards it. But right now, it is still frustrating as parents try and go through it, because it's everything from, you know, how the FAFSA works and counts financial aid. And frankly, because of that, we made a move where like one parent claimed all the children on their taxes, even though like we're both supporting them and we had to equalize it ourselves because the system wasn't set up to do that. Health insurance is a whole nother thing. Like, could we not find a way to still be a family even though we're in separate households instead of paying, you know, for two family plans? There's so much that could be done. It starts with an attitude shift, though. It starts with an attitude shift that we can all be making right now, today, in our own families, in our societies, advocating for, talking about. I mean, if you are going through a divorce or a separation, or you're not married, or you have friends who are doing this, talk about the benefits of 50-50.
Push back.
Yeah,
it works. I shared an anecdote in my book. Just a friend of mine, she's been hearing me yap about this for years. And one of her good friends was going through a divorce, and I guess he cheated, and there's a lot of heartache around it. And this is in New York, where there's more lawyers per capita in the world. And there is definitely a culture of litigation around divorce today, even though that is also dramatically improving. But my friend Penny, and you know, she's like, yeah, like you keep talking about like taking him for all he's worth and getting all his money and getting the kids. She's like, you've always said he's a good dad. He wasn't a good husband, but he's a good dad. Why don't you just do 50-50? And this friend was like, nobody in my life has said that. You know, all the supportive people, my mom, my girlfriends, my sisters, they're all like telling me to like punish him and take him for all he's worth. And they did. They did do 50-50, and fast forward, everybody's fine. And they all, you know, calmed down. But it really just took that one voice that somebody might not be hearing in other places. And it's the truth. It makes sense. It's a loving message. It's a low conflict message. It's a peaceful, loving, child-centered message, and you will touch people's hearts with it. It's a marketing problem, because the other one is like angry and fighting and lawyers, and it's like, that doesn't connect with people's hearts, right?
You point out that the benefits of 50-50 parenting are damn near universal and apply even when this wasn't what the parents wanted initially. Yes. Even when the parents are not the friendly, amicable, co-parenting parents. And listeners, I'm here to tell you this is true. I did not want a 50-50 schedule. I did not think their dad deserved to have equal time once he decided to opt out of what he agreed to. And we have been divorced for, about like 15 years, like you too, Emma. Mm-hmm. And even at that, still do not, like, we're not at the point where we can call each other up and talk about parenting things. We disagree about a ton, even still. Guess what, though? Our kids are thriving humans. And I am a thriving human. And their dad is a thriving human. And I really very strongly believe it is because our children had continued, regular, involved access from both parents. And we both had time to do other things in our lives.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because that's really beautiful. And it is not what you chose. You were pissed about it. It felt unfair. But we're not our own best advocates. That's why we do family court, right? Like, you're a divorce or breakups, or when we're at our worst, why are we being expected to like make these giant life decisions when like our lowest point? It's not helpful.
It's a good point. What do you think, Janet? I see thoughts on your face.
Oh, I'm just nodding through this whole conversation. It is all just so, as you said, Emma, we've just got to talk about this and bring it up 50-50 to our friends, to anyone that's in this position. And even if you have been divorced for a period of time, it's not too late to regroup. And say, hey, let's look at this a different way. Because I do feel for those dads out there who don't have as much access to their kids because the mom thinks that everything she does is the right way, air quotes around that.
Yeah. And I feel for those kids, and I feel for those moms. That's a lot of responsibility for her. Yeah. I feel for the grandparents and the cousins in those families that are missing out.
Yeah. Like, that's the other piece of this. Children, ideally, the more people who love your children and care about your children, the better. Mm-hmm. And when you maintain, when a child has a regular continued access and time with both parents, they also are seeing the cousins on, if there are cousins on that side, aunts, mm-hmm. uncles, even just friends of that side of the family. I mean, my children have this tremendously huge network on both sides. And there are even some very sweet logistical benefits to this. For instance, and this has happened at least twice already, a washing machine or a dryer breaks down at one house. Guess what? They have another house to go to where they can do the laundry. And I know...
So true. I'll tell you a story. This just happened last week. My son's in eighth grade, so he's applying for these competitive high schools, like, you know, like let's call magnet schools in our community. And one of them is actually where his sister goes. It's an art school, and it's about 30 minutes away, and it pulls from a large geographic area. So there was an interview section of this application, and they actually had the parent in there. And one of the things was like how are involved, like, are you up for schlepping your kid back and forth to the school far away? And I was like, actually, my kids have like four parents. We have an abundance of rides. Just saying, yes. Competitive parents, if you want your kids to like have advantages in life.
Yes. I mean, I said before, my husband has married again. I'm married to somebody else. My kids benefit from those relationships. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as their relationship with, you know, their parent who's raised them and been part of their lives from birth. But they benefit because these are other adults who, at the very least, you know, care basically about their well-being. And guess what? Have their own unique skill sets to share with these children. It feels threatening to us as moms sometimes, right? That somebody else is going to come in and be involved with our kid. Please embrace it. Please embrace it.
We embrace other adults, right? We're like, oh, you have a wonderful coach who loves you and helps. You're like, great, that's awesome. Great music teacher, scout leader. We think that's awesome. So like, why not a step parent, right?
Yeah. I want to draw attention to this. We talk so much in our society about mom guilt, especially working mom guilt. You know, I'm at work. I'm thinking about my kids all the time. I feel guilty for working so much. You wrote in the book that nearly 2/3 of dads say they spend too little time with their kids, compared to just 1/3 of moms. We do not talk about that in our society. That tells me dads want to be involved with their children.
Oh, absolutely. Dads want to be parents. They want to be parents, and we're not giving them the opportunity. We're not giving them the support. Our culture is not set up for that.
Another quote that hit me so hard. You wrote about the case of a guy who learned he had a 4-year-old child. Like, imagine what that's like to learn you have a 4-year-old child. And he went to court and he fought for parenting time. And I'll be honest, my first reaction, fed by the culture I grew up on, is like, oh my gosh, how like unstabilizing for this child, how traumatic, this guy is a stranger. And the dad's quote was, I will always be a stranger until you give me a chance to not be a stranger.
Yeah. Do you remember, do you have at your hands the rest of that quote, which was like, when, what did he say? When a mom brings home a newborn baby that she doesn't know, it's a giant thumbs up. But when a dad comes around and wants to spend time with his kid, he doesn't know, it's a giant thumbs down.
Yes. Listeners, I want you all to think about that because, you know, we've talked about this before. None of us know what the hell we're doing parenting. We are all making it up as we go along.
And dads can make it up just as well as moms.
That's right. Because guess what? They were children too. There's parents all around us. The books that we read that makes us crazy parents, probably better, more than good parent moms. They can read those too. It's parenting is in it's foundational to humanity. It's foundational to the human experience. It's not like throwing me into brain surgery uneducated. That's a specialized skill. It's just keeping a kid alive.
Even with chicken nuggets.
Even with dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets, you can do it.
You know, in a lot of ways, I will admit this too. I have learned to be a better parent, to be more tolerant, more flexible, more open to risk and letting my kids try things where my instinct is like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? because of their dad.
Mm.
Because of their dad, because that was and is his style of parenting. And the kids thrive. Like, he loves them just as much as I do. He's not about to put them in terribly harmful situations. I realized, they can do more than I think they can.
Mm-hmm.
Letting him parent. And look at the phrasing there, listeners. I said letting him parent. That's gatekeeping right there, isn't it?
It is. It is so normal.
I want to end kind of on this point. There are so many things that our society needs to do and should do to better support women, men, families, children. You write, an equal 50-50 parenting presumption is the one policy change that could dramatically help tens of millions of children, their families, and communities without any additional funding. This is free, and it would make a huge immediate difference in the lives of children, moms, dads, societies today, and downstream.
And upstream. If you have a dad who is in a position of power, he's an executive at a company, maybe he's in a government position, policy. If he is doing 50-50, right? Statistically, men in big power positions, which are still majority men, have stay-at-home wives who are probably just as highly educated as he is. And she's at home doing all the stay-at-home mom stuff, totally shielding him from the realities of parenting. He doesn't have to figure out if he's going to like run his corporate board meeting because the kid is sick or his whole day is eaten up by scheduling all the crap that kids have to do. He is completely protected from that. But if he's on the hook 50-50, he's feeling that. And that is just human. That is the only way that he is ever really going to understand what it means to parent. And those guys are more likely to pass family-friendly policies. They're more likely statistically to promote women in the workplace. So that goes all the way upstream. When we have yes. men in power, just like when we have women in power, they're making different policies than the men do. When we have men in power who are responsible, not just that they have the rights to the kids when they feel like it, but they are responsible for the nitty gritty of parenting. They make decisions that affect everybody in a better way.
Emma's book is The 50-50 Solution, the surprisingly simple choice that makes moms, dads, and kids happier and healthier after a divorce. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. I recommend this book for everybody, married, separated, never married. There's a lot of things in this book that we all need to know. And really, Emma, I mean, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this. This book should be required reading for all the people working in family court.
Agree. Go and buy it.
Right? Emma, where can people get some more information about you, about the book? I know you mentioned a website.
Well, yeah. So, of course, the book's on Amazon, 50-50 Solution. You can follow me on Twitter at Johnson Emma. And then I have two websites. Moms for Shared Parenting is my activist effort. And then my business effort is Wealthy Single Mommy.
Thank you so much for all the work that you are doing on behalf of our families, our children, all of us. Thanks, Emma.
Well, thank you guys. You're doing God's work over there.
Thank you, Emma. Listeners, we wonder what you think about 50-50 parenting, what your experiences have been. You can always reach out to us, send us an email, send us a tweet. We're here for you. This is the On Boys Parenting Podcast. We are your co-hosts, Jennifer L.W. Fink of buildingboys.net, and I'm Janet Allison of boysalive.com. Thanks for being here, and you know, it is super, super important that you click over and just check out our sponsors. It really helps us, and it helps them to know that they're sharing their message in the right place, and we certainly want to do that for them. We are very careful about the advertisers that we choose, and so we want you to know that we have vetted them. We feel like they are a good fit for our audience, so please go on over and check them out. Use the coupon codes that we offer, and thanks again for being our listeners.
Ah!
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.